I can't remember ever speaking about what I'm going to speak about today. Maybe I have, but kind of excited because it's some inspiration that has really challenged me and made me to think, and I'm not sure where all the Lord will take this morning. I'm looking to Him and I ask your prayers. Chapter 8 of Luke, and the first verse, I want to turn our attention here this morning. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Those words caught my attention. I wondered why he said it almost twice, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. So I was challenged to look him up and to try to find what is the difference and what all this includes. So I want to speak a little bit about that, but first let's keep on going. It wasn't just Jesus. Who else was with Jesus as he went from city? It says to every city and village. Who was it? It was Jesus, and the 12 were with him. So we have 12 men. You know, how many do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We just have 11. So actually there were all of us plus one more plus Jesus. And guess who else? And certain women. So we have quite a large company here. We have Jesus and 12 men. Now we have some women. All of these. It piqued my interest. How did they do this? Did they camp? Did they camp out? Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. It doesn't say what they were. It doesn't, it says Mary called Magdalene. That's because she was from a city called Magdala. Out of whom went seven devils. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. So someone connected with the king's household. The steward was somebody who had the financial responsibility of the king's household. So his wife followed Jesus. Some speculate that she was a widow now, that she wasn't having to be anywhere else, but that she had chosen to follow Jesus, but he had cast evil spirits out of her or healed her of some kind of sickness. And now here she was. That's Joanna. And then Susanna. It doesn't say anything but her name, but we know that these three women followed along with the 12 disciples and followed Jesus. And it says many others. I wonder what that means. Because you have indefinite pronouns. You know that a few is more than one or two. A few could be three. You have several. Several could be three or more. Then it says many. Indefinite pronoun. You don't know how many. But there could have been 12 women. There could have been some of the disciples' wives. Peter had a wife. We know that because Jesus healed her mother of a fever. So we have all these women and men and Jesus who went about, and here's what they did. They preached and they showed the glad tidings of the kingdom. Now, the word preach... Oh, I didn't finish the verse about the women, but I want to go to this, and then I will go back to that. The word preach, it means to be a herald, to proclaim. He proclaimed the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. It means to announce, like a herald. A herald is someone who announces someone else. They're not that person, but they announce it, like the one at the White House or at the Capitol building on Inauguration Day. Who was it that announced, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Do you know that person? We don't know that person. It's just a voice. We know who the President of the United States is, but whoever it was, probably a Marine, I don't know. Whoever it was that did the announcing, you could probably look it up somewhere. Someone's got his name recorded. But he was the herald. And he announced the President of the United States. What an honor. But he is not honored, except maybe in his own heart. What an honor he had. That's the way it is with preachers. Really? We're not here to be known or to be to toot our own horn, or like Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but we preach or we announce the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just servants. We're just lowly servants. I think the world of religion today has put preachers up on such a pedestal, but it's not God's will. As we said last Sunday, we don't take the title Reverend. That's God's name. Reverend is only to be given to God. So the preacher is to announce, to proclaim, to herald, to be a herald of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they did this, and they also showed the glad tidings. I guess to me it was this, the Lord Jesus and the 12 disciples and the women, there was something that they all could do. And they all had a part, and they all proclaimed and showed. To show, in this word is the English, the old English, S-H-E-W. But really, the word is evangelize. That's the Greek word. It means to, it goes a little further in proclaiming, it means to share. It goes more personally than just standing on the street corner and announcing. This word, show the glad tidings, it means to share the experience. Now, when you think about it in that way, and you think about who's with Jesus, you see how that we can be workers together with Jesus. You see how that, yes, there's a gospel message. Yes, there's the word of God. Anybody can read it. But how important it is for people who have experienced it to share. That like makes chills go down me. To think that, what has God done for you? What have you seen Him accomplish in your life? What is the kingdom of heaven all about? We have this morning, you and me, a few less than what was in this company, but it's no matter. It's okay. We all can share. We can evangelize. When I think about the word evangelize, I think of work. I think of time. I think of labor. I think of prayer and a burden and asking God for power and for wisdom. When I think of evangelize, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of someone called to give of themselves, to share this good news. That's what this word, and the gospel means, good news. One word that I noticed, that this word showing the glad tidings, it means to gospelize. It means to share the good news through personal experience, through personal encounter with people. He wants us to get into this place as men, as women. I'm so glad that this is all in here like this. Now, it says that the women ministered unto Jesus of their substance. I believe that they came along as washers of clothes. No doubt they set up some kind of a camp. I don't know. They left their homes. They were traveling. I can just almost visualize these women washing the clothes of these men, folding them up, drying them on the line, folding them up, putting them in a pile. There's John's, there's Thomas's, there's Jesus. Jesus didn't own anything. He hadn't anything. Everything that that he had was given to him. He became a servant. He became also a beggar. Scripture tells us, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That word poor means a beggar, dependent upon public support. The God of heaven became that way. He is pictured in that way here. The women and the men came along with him, ministered to him of their substance. They gave to him. What an honor it would be, wouldn't it, to you, if you could say, I fixed a meal for Jesus. I fixed soup for him. He liked my soup. He liked my bread. What an honor. There's just so much that challenged me in these few verses. And the Lord, sometimes, sisters, we feel like that we all we do is cook and wash and clean. But this says they ministered unto him. Did you know that he said later, he said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The Lord used this scripture to encourage me personally. And I'm trying to share it with you. You may not get out of it what I got out of it. But it encouraged me that in ministering to others, to people, cooking, cleaning, spending time, talking about their interest, doing what they want to do, caring for others. The honor of it is that we're doing it for Christ. Even our families, your sick loved ones, your grandchildren, your children, your in-laws, for ministering to them of your substance, you're ministering to Christ. That sanctifies every service that we do for others. That sanctifies the hours spent with a baby at night. I remember one time, and I'll just say this to your encouragement, as a mother, I remember one time at night, I cried out to the Lord. I had a very fussy baby, very many nights with that child who was in some kind of agony, and I did not know how to help him. But I remember one night after him being sick for several nights and I had had very little sleep, the Lord came down. The Lord took me to a certain passage of Scripture and put it into my heart and into my mind. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a good heritage. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I was in the middle of the night, totally sapped of physical strength and mental endurance, but the Lord ministered to me and fed me. And this is what I believe kept these women going. I think about Mary and Martha. They cared for Jesus too. And Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. I'm sure that these women, after what Jesus had done for them, after what he had done for their spirits, they were happy to minister to him of anything that they can do. Let me just scrub your shoes. Let me just cook something for you. Let me clear the ground here so that you can have a place that you can rest. I don't know what they did, but I know one thing. They were sharing. They were sharing what Jesus had done for them. Couldn't you imagine as Jesus went along and he would say, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. Here was Mary right behind him looking for a woman, maybe. Probably the women ministered to women and the men to the men, but probably looking for someone who was in great despair and agony. Easy to spot sometimes, sometimes not so easy to spot. But she knew the signs. She had had seven, which means it could mean a complete number. That's what the word seven usually means in the Bible. Completely taken over by Satan. Infirm, it says, they had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Maybe one of the women there had been crippled. You know, we have a story in the New Testament. We have a story in the New Testament of a woman who could never pick herself up. She walked around just like this all the time. And the Lord Jesus came to her and said, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And she straightened up. Maybe one of them was Joanna or Susanna, or there were others. You think about this. Joanna had been in, possibly been in the royal palaces. Talks in the book of Acts, I believe, there were other believers of Jesus in Herod's royal palaces. Think about the influence that these people could have had on others. God wants his people to go about announcing, and not only announcing, but sharing. Sharing what he has done for me. What a wonderful thing this could be. I want to show you how this was in the scriptures way back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40. Wait, I want to go back before that. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 11. I'm going to turn to these because they are mentioned later in the writings of in Romans. Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans chapter 10 by Paul. The scriptures that I'm going to read to you are mentioned there. It says, 68 and 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." Now I'm thinking of what we just read in Luke. The Lord gave the word, but he had 12 men and at least 3 women and some others that came and they published it. This word is the same. It means the same. It's a Hebrew word, but it means the same. It means to to proclaim. It means to bring the message. It means to share the good tidings, the gladness, to be a bearer of gladness. Then you go to and I want to mention that this word right here. Great was the company of those that published it. If you would take it literally, it means the female evangelist. That's what it means. It's a feminine term. Great was the company, and it had reference to two things in the Bible that you can read about, but it was the custom back then for when there was a military victory. Or if there was a military need, like to announce a battle, to call for fighters, to bring the soldiers to attention that there was need for them to gather to battle, it was the women who did it. The women announced it. The women would take their cymbals and their timbrels, and they would go out at the time of victory, and they would praise the victory. They would announce it. Remember when the Lord overthrew the Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea? Who was it that went out and had singing? It was Miriam and the women. They sang with dances and with their instruments, and they announced the victory. Who was it that got David in trouble? It was Saul. It was the women who went out and they announced the victories of Saul's armies. And at that time they said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. It was the women who were doing that, and that's what this refers to. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those who published it. Those who brought the glad tidings. Let me look now at the one in Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 9, Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Here, I don't have it in my margin, but in some margins you may read, O thou that bringest good tidings to Zion. It's said in some manuscripts, some of the ancient manuscripts, it was said this other way, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion. Or it's said in the King James, O Zion that bringeth good tidings. And it actually could be both ways. It could be someone who announces to Zion, or the city of God, or the people in the city, the victory, or the word of God, or the deliverance. And then also it could be Zion, which now is God's church, the redeemed, who announces to the world. I think both of them are right. Back then, it was historical that someone would go and they would get up on the seven mountains that were around Zion, and they would light a beacon fire, and they would sound a trumpet, and they would tell, this is what God has done. Now, an instance of this is in the book of Nahum. And remember, I don't know if you remember, we mentioned Nahum some Sundays ago when we talked about trusting in God and how God was reminding the children of Israel here in the book of Nahum how God had delivered them from Sennacherib, that Assyrian king who came to Hezekiah and sent his servant, and the servant sent a letter to Hezekiah and said, if you think you're going to trust in your God and he deliver you, you just remember what every other country has done who trusted in their gods and see what we did to them. And Hezekiah spread out the letter before the Lord and prayed over it. And what happened to Sennacherib and his 185,000 soldiers? What happened to him? An angel of the Lord killed them all in one night. And the book of Nahum is talking, it says, the burden of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. He was talking to them, reminding them of this God who had done such a deed, that they had better not trust in their own selves. They'd better turn and trust in the Lord, because this is the same God that killed 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians. So here in the last verse of chapter 1 of Nahum, he says, behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. And I believe it's referring to that time in Hezekiah's reign where he and the children of Israel were in trouble and God gave him that great deliverance. It was the custom of the people then to go up on the mountains and light those bonfires and those beacon fires and tell, look what God has done. Look what he's done. Share and tell what he's done. He said, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows. What were those vows? Those were the things that they prayed about when they saw that Sennacherib was going to come against them and destroy them. No doubt they said, Lord, we will serve you forever. He said, now that he's performed this, now that he has, we have good tidings of peace, but you better perform your vows. You better serve him. You better not go back to idols, because it's not an idol that delivered you. It was the Lord God. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. This word, remember the message we had on Belial about the people that were thorns and hard for God to deal with? He was referring here, the wicked, the word Belial is right here, and he's talking about Sennacherib. The Lord cut him off. The next day, he was worshiping in the house of his God after the Lord God's angel had smote 185,000 of his men, he went right back to the temple of his God, and his two sons came in and killed him. Sennacherib never again troubled the children of Israel. And that's what this verse is. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That was going on at that time. They were telling about what God had done for them and challenging and promising, this is no more going to oppress you. No more. God has gotten rid of him utterly. Isaiah 52 also. Did we read that one? We read Isaiah 40, but then 52 has it as well. I'm going to go ahead and get that. 52 and 7. How beautiful upon the mountains. Now, this is the one that is quoted in Romans 10. It's speaking in Romans 10. It's applying this of that picture of people who announce the victory of the Lord, that victory over Sennacherib, those beacon fires, the spreading of gladness and good news. Romans, the Apostle Paul to the Romans, applied this verse to the preaching of the gospel. That's what I wanted to, this whole mention of these Old Testament scriptures. It's all looking forward and pointing forward to what we started with when we read about Jesus, the disciples, and the women. How they went around and they shared and they announced the good tidings, the glad tidings. This is all foreshadowed in the Old Testament scriptures. This is prophecy. And it was talking about a great deliverance back then of the angel cutting off 185,000 armed men in one night. But it's pointing forward to even a greater deliverance. And Mary Magdalene had it. And Joanna and Susanna and Matthew, who had sat at the receipt of custom and required money from others. And Jesus came and said, "Follow me." And John and James, who were kind of elitist and their mother thought they should be on either side of Jesus. That kind of tells you what they came from. Sons of thunder, men that would call down fire from heaven upon people and to make them into kind and loving, gentle apostles of Christ. John, at the end of his life, spent his time going from congregation to congregation, a gentle, peaceful man who said, "Children, love one another." When he was about 100 years old, that was told of him. Peter, who was impetuous, who always spoke before he thought, who thought that they ought to build some tabernacles for Jesus and the other prophets. Kind of, let's enshrine these. He just had wild ideas. Jumped out of the boat to go to Jesus, never afraid, but then suddenly afraid. The Lord took Peter, made him an apostle, a rock, a pillar in the church of God. The Lord did these things for these disciples, for these women, and now they were going around telling and sharing what the Lord had done. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good things, of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, "Thy God reigneth." As the prophet Nahum said that about the triumph over Sennacherib, there in David's time, where the women proclaimed the victories over the Philistines, as in Moses' time, when Miriam and the other women danced and sang to proclaim victory over Pharaoh and his army, so these sisters, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, accompanied the disciples and Jesus in proclaiming the glad tidings of the Lord. Look what he's done for me. Oh, the song we sang said, tell what he's done for you. Now think about what Jesus told Legion, who was a man like Mary Magdalene. He was filled with demons. Legion was his name because the devils identified themselves through him, as we are many. We are many in him. Jesus commanded them all to leave, and then the man wanted to follow Jesus. What did Jesus tell him? I believe it's in Luke chapter 7. Jesus told him, it's Luke 8, I'm sorry. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Now again, the old English word they put here is this word show, or S-E-H-E-W, shoe. And it's the same word we read that beforehand where they showed the glad tidings. But this word show, it actually means explain fully what God has done for you. Now I wonder what that testimony would sound like. If this man who had been Legion, if he began to share, here's where I was, here's how I got there. Young people, never take your first drink. Never take the first drug. Never disobey your parents. Don't ever curse God. Here's what happened to me. Don't ever pick up that kind of literature. Don't ever look at that kind of show. This is what happened to me. This is what this man was supposed to do. Jesus said, you go around and you explain fully what happened to you and what I did for you. Just imagine his message. Because things like that, they start little. Jesus said, even if the Lord comes and delivers you from Satan, but you don't go on and be filled with his spirit, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he meant. If you don't go on and be filled with his spirit, what did he say would happen? That spirit would gather 7 more like it and enter back into you, and the last state would be worse than the first. I wonder if that was Legion's testimony. Maybe he had been delivered at one point and then went back to it again. I don't know. But Jesus said, you go back home and you explain fully what happened. You tell how that there's some people Jesus has said, don't say anything. But this one, he said, you go show what great things God has done unto you. Now I'm thinking of in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. It's not just the disciples and Mary and Joanna and Susanna, but did you know it's us too? He has called us too. This says, 1 Peter 2 and 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a purchased, cherished possession, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I wonder this morning, I'm very challenged, what what do you want me to share? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to evangelize? That's what this word means, where it said they went around and they not only preached, but they evangelized. They shared. They went to people and worked with people. The Lord is calling us to do the same. He wants us to share with people. It's going to take something. I don't know how he'll work that out in and through every life. But remember, these women ministered unto him of their substance. It doesn't take a big thing. It just takes what you have. You're a mother. You're a father. Your realm of influence pretty much is those children that the Lord has given. God wants us to evangelize them. He wants us to take their souls into our own, into our burden. Have a burden. Pray much. Plead much with God for their souls. Well, we could say a lot, but I believe this is all that the Lord has given to me. Be encouraged. Each one of us today, you have a story to share. What has God done for you? Ask Him to lead you to people that you can share that with. Ask Him to help you to know how to share the good tidings of the kingdom. Maybe you think, well, I don't have a Sennacherib to tell about. But you have maybe a temper, maybe a lying tongue that God's delivered you from, maybe porn, maybe drinking, maybe drugs, maybe a weakness of some kind, maybe a healing. God can help us to know what to share and when to share it. He can help us to know how to evangelize those around us. Amen.